actually have a caller on the line. I'm excited. It's Wolverine Dan. Hey, Wolverine Dan, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? Doing a great job for Phil. I appreciate you stepping in.
Well,
doing it like you've been doing it forever, for crying out loud. Well, this is the blue collar take about that protesters. That would be like a green light or like a bull with a red sheet. I'd run out of that freaking audience and I'd just pile drive them. I mean, guess what? You wouldn't get in trouble because, hey, I'm just protecting the players in the name of the game. This is all in the name of the game. And you're the victim, dude, because the green light's on. It is WWF power drive you into the sand.
You're going to, what is it, like RKO? My sons are always doing it, like RKO, I'm right onto the green.
Yeah, I'm gonna pile drive you into the sand along with the Campbell jockeys from overseas that destroyed everything we hold sacred over there, and I rolled that into it because we lost some great people. There's still people over there that have not been saved, for crying out loud. Do your job, Joey. You know, I tell you, do your job, Joey, this Thursday. Just fail. That way, they got to find somebody else, and it's going to make things a lot easier.
Well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen on Thursday, but I have a feeling that he's going to show up. He's going to have been given some serious medication, and his eyes will be those like really wide eyes with no blinking, and we'll see what happens.
Well, sure. Of course, he's in the bunker for caught along with the other ones, right? And
yes.
He's got the questions in front of him, so it's like they're repetitious. That, and you know what? What's going to happen is when all of a sudden the brain shuts down for a second or two, then he's going to be lost. And then the questions come at a certain way, right? So what happens is that when that brain stops, what question am I on right now? There you go.
I will see if he gets any help. I don't know if they're going to help him along, prod him, you know, try to keep him on task as far as the participants asking questions. I we'll see. We'll be able to tell pretty soon if it's stacked against Trump or not.
When it comes to, you listen, this is a short thing here, Bob, and I won't be long, but the voting is going to happen in the near future. Please, everybody, this is serious stuff. This goes a long way beyond my 65-year-old body. It goes for the grandkids, the great-grandkids, and the future children, the boys and girls, and they become adults in this country, and they need to have it good like we have, all right? Let's not give them a broken nation. We need to show up and vote.
Right. I want my kids and grandkids to inherit something wonderful, not something sad and pathetic. And I just pray that we don't, you know, take a turn for the worse after this election, all depending on what happened. But it will be interesting to see how he comes across on Thursday. I do believe they'll try and help him a bit. That's why they have no audience. That's why they have, you know, they wanted him to sit down, Big Rig. Did you know that? They wanted him to be seated, and Trump said no.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I think he wants to point out, you know, maybe Biden's strength in being able to stand up.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, they'll probably like have some rod underneath his clothes to keep him standing up. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, he surprised me before. I thought he was going to fail miserably in the first set of debates, and he did okay.
What time are they doing the debate?
I don't know. I just know it's Thursday. I don't really know. Debates to me aren't that interesting because, I mean, I'm just going to be interested in seeing how he's doing. Not necessarily, you know, the content.
Like, yeah, I feel like you would have to do it early in the day, you know.
Oh, it's got to be prime time. Though.
Yeah,
wouldn't you think?
It can't be evening because if he does have, you know, dementia or underlying conditions like that, you know.
Well, it makes it more difficult at night. I had an aunt with, or great aunt, with dementia, and they tend to have sundowners, so they get more agitated at night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you ever noticed, but sometimes when he gets agitated, a lot of times it's closer to nighttime, and that's just not unusual. And honestly, I feel for him because in some ways, because decline must be awful. But I look at his family and I'm like, man, y'all are just keep pushing him out there. Look at his wife. She knows he's not doing well, but yet she's, you know, reveling in being first lady, I guess. But I don't know. I think a cognitive test would be in order. when you're past a certain age to run for office. Yeah. But I don't know. All right, back to what we're talking about, boys to men. I sort of touched on it in my monologue, but talking about college and men in college. And I want everybody to think about this. This isn't just something that will affect the men and or boys. I mean, to me, I tend to think of them as boys. I have an almost 21-year-old, and I think of him as a boy still because, you know, they're just...
I feel like I was still a boy at that age.
Yeah, they're just like, I don't know when you become a man, but I get you can fight and die for your country, but dang, he still seems immature.
For me, I feel like 30 was when I was 30, like, okay, okay. I think I'm a man now.
Well, I just feel like that these boys, it affects more than just them. You got to look at the whole totality of it. It's, you know, who do they become? Do we want our population rate to nosedive like some other countries? I mean, look at South Korea. They're going to go off a cliff population-wise. And if you don't understand how it works, it's almost compounding. And say 20 or 30 years from now, that population is in a nosedive because of what's happening right now with young people, like, say, in that country who don't want to get married. And we have to, if we just want to maintain our population, we really need to have men that women want to date and want to marry and want to, you know, trust and have families with. And if not, you're going to have a lot of men who are frustrated and a lot of women who are too, because, you know, they're just going to say, why bother getting married? Or they'll, you know, have kids via, you know, IVF or whatever. And then you've got a generation of boys even more so with no father. So it's just, it's a sad commentary on what we're dealing with right now. And I hear it from my boys is that a lot of girls, they're not really dateable. They're not really interested in a committed relationship. They really want, you know, to be just out there and free to do whatever they want. And I'm not saying anybody can't do whatever they want, but it's just long-term repercussions for stuff like that. And I feel like for us to have a society of, you know, happy people and families and productive, we need to look at what's going on right now in the high schools and the colleges and the young adults, because it's not exactly giving me the warm fuzzies, because I feel as if, you know, it's possible that we could see some of the same decline. And I think it's kind of funny because people talk about, oh, there's too many people on the planet. There's not. And we're going to start reducing that number quite quickly. So we don't really have to worry about that part of it. But a lot, it said 42% of Hispanic high school graduates are going into college for males in 2011. And now it's 33% in 2022. So you're seeing a drastic drop off in Hispanic males. You know, that's, you know, nearly 10%. Drop. And that's just staggering. But when you see it as a percentage of the total, you're talking about, you know, 25% reduction. White males had a substantial drop as well, from 49% attending college in 2011 to 40% in 2022. Same thing, almost a 10% or 10% less percentage points. But if you look at it as a whole, you're talking about 20% drop almost. And that's really frustrating, because women want to marry someone of their same education level. They're really driven to that for whatever reason. And they look at it as safety and security. And they want to marry a man who has a high income potential, a lot of them. And actually way higher than the expectations are kind of out of bounds nowadays. And I saw this survey where women were asked what level of income they wanted from their spouse. And a majority of them, what they estimated was double what your average man makes. And so.
So relationship inflation, basically.
But, and they also overestimate what they can, their value to, because you would call that like a high value, you know, or high income man. And these, you know, it's like every woman, I don't care what she looked like, was like, yeah, that's what I want. Well, I ain't realistic, honey. That's just not going to happen. So I just see these drops in education. I think it's going to cause us to miss the mark in a lot of ways, not just what they can do or what jobs they can do or what they can afford. I think you see it hitting a lot of different things, including marriage and families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, we'll be back on the other side of this break and talk a little bit more about Boys to Men. And we're back. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil. Solid conservative and just plain right here on Right Side Radio. I got a text from Jeff from Indiana. Jeffro, as he calls him. Says, Lee, you're doing a great job as always, but every time you say Boys to Men, my GPS thinks you're saying voice command, and it asks me what I want. I don't know, Jeff. Tell me you want a better world for our children. How do we get that? Maybe your GPS can tell you. Going to keep talking a little bit more about Boys to Men, how we get our boys and raise them right to be successful, competent, you know, loving men and fathers and husbands, because that's what we need. The Bible gives us these guidelines. They really do. They're like bumpers to keep us on that path. It's when we stray and go off into our own understanding that we tend to end up, how did we get here? What's happening? Why is life so bad? You know? I think that the Bible's a big part of it. For me, it is, because everything in there that you need to understand how to be a good father, a good mother, a good parent, a good child, how relationships with others as well, friendship relationships, relationships with those in the church. It's all in there, and it's all guidelines for us so that our lives can be as happy as possible. But as human beings, you know, we want to do things our way, and we want to do things with our own understanding. And that usually just causes pain, honestly, needless pain, avoidable pain. But, I feel like that our boys are suffering right now. And I feel as if they're a bit lost as a whole. And I think part of that is lack of male leadership. And I don't just mean in the home. I mean everywhere. Men feel almost muzzled. We don't have the male leadership, because male leadership is the most important thing that's helped Western civilization make it to where it is right now. And as a female, I can say that with 100% certainty. And because we're meant to complement each other. We're meant to fill in where the other one lacks as female and male. And that's why we get married. And we have been toiling for thousands of years together, so much more alike than we are different, but working as a pair and, you know, working to, you know, life was rough 100, 200 years ago. You know, you're tilling the land, you're raising kids. You know, it was tough, and everybody worked hard. I don't care what job you had. And, you know, as a woman, you were tending to the home and to the children and making everything. And I mean, from scratch, and, you know, it's to feed whole families. It was, you know, we had a tough existence, and modern technology has allowed us over the years to develop into a much easier life. And I totally appreciate where I am in history right now and being able to live in this time. But I also look at it and think, and I've had one of my sons tell me so many times, oh, I wish I was, you know, grew up in the 80s and 90s, because it just seems so much better and just cooler. People actually talk to each other. And because he looked at a video that showed like high school in 1990 or something. And he just said, it just looks so different. And he's right. It was different. And I didn't appreciate, because who could foresee social media like it erupted. But I feel like that boys feel worthless in a way now, or worth less than they did before. And I don't think they look at themselves as providers, as protectors, as competent human beings who can do things. My next door neighbor is literally MacGyver, and I'm not kidding about that. This man can make anything. You can drop him in the middle of nowhere. Like, what are those island, like Survivor or Naked and Afraid. I'm telling you, the man, you could drop him into Naked and Afraid. He'd have knitted himself some britches, and he would have made a fishing line out of something, and he would be just fine. He's just that sort of guy. He's an engineer. You know what I'm saying? And he was helping another guy, much younger guy, that lives near us, helping him figure out things with his car. And the guy just kept coming back over and over and over. And I told him, I said, you know, he just wants you to do it. But this young guy needs to understand, he needs to learn. It's sort of like teach a man to fish. He needs to understand how to do these things and just not expect to come to you every single time. Mm-hmm. He needs to learn how to figure it out.
Maybe that guy didn't have like his father help him whenever he was a kid or something.
I know his dad. I just don't think that was his wheelhouse of being able to help. Like yeah. That just wasn't his thing. But he does this with a lot of people. My neighbor does. Like, he really has a drive to help people. And I love that about him. And he's even helped my boys learn how to change their tires, change their brakes, makes them actively participate. But that's what we have to do. How many men right now do you think that are in their 20s that even know how to change their own tire?
I don't know.
I would say not enough.
Yeah.
And I saw a woman change. She was out and she had the thing jacked up. Her husband was, or whatever, was sitting in the car and she's out there jacking that sucker up. And I thought, man, what are you doing? You gonna make your woman get out and change the tire?
That's crazy.
Or anytime I see a man sitting in the car while a woman pumps the gas. No, that's not how I raise my boys.
Yeah.
You get out and you pump the gas.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to, but I made them get out and pump the gas for me. And I still do when they ride with me. That's what you do for women. And I just feel like we've got a generation that's a bit ignorant to just common sense men things.
Yeah.
And they've just got to get back to the basics when it comes to that. We're doing them a disservice by not requiring they learn how to cook, learn how to clean their own things, learn how to, fix, change an oil. So I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like we need to get back to the basics on some of these things. All right. We will be back after this break. Hey, everybody. This is Lee from Huntsville Inn for Phil Williams. It's Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. We are local, state, national, all the issues, solid conservative and just plain right. I am excited to be in for Phil, and we have been talking about how to raise our boys into men that are, worthy. And I do have a couple of texts. Ken from Remlap, which Ken, by the way, I still can't find Remlap on a map. I looked and it's just, I don't know where it is. Boys to men, we have a problem with fathers being absent in the home. Even kids with fathers in the home, those fathers work a lot more than they have to. I believe it's not the amount of money you spend on your kids, but the time you spend with them that makes the difference.
I agree with that.
Yeah, most definitely.
Sometimes when I'm at home and my kids like, play with me, I immediately play with them because, you can't get that time back.
True. And time spent is worth its weight in gold. I mean, it's much more important than what you spend on. They won't remember what you spent on their clothes or their things. They mm-hmm. will remember the time you spent with them.
Exactly.
And they're never going to look at you on your deathbed and say, Mom, I wish you had worked more. Or Dad, I wish you had,
wish you bought me that one thing.
Yeah, they're just not. So 100% I agree with that. Cheryl from Madison said, I am liking your discussion about boys and the examples that need to be set for them. I truly believe there is too much pressure put on kids to go to college. And you're right. College is not for everyone. It's definitely not. I think you can be perfectly, happy doing trades. I mean, my goodness. I don't know if you saw, I don't remember what the, it was an adult cartoon. There was a guy who could fix things. Like he was almost like a repair guy. And he was super wealthy because nobody could repair anything. And everybody was trying to, get on his schedule and offer him double and triple and quadruple his rate to get, their stove fixed or their refrigerator fixed. And he was like wealthy and had his own plane.
I feel like that's what's going on today. Like truthfully.
Well, we're going to get to a point where, you're just going to be held captive to the repair people.
Yeah.
And because people aren't learning how to fix even basic things. And so that's why I think you didn't have a segment of the population kind of turn back to being a bit more handy mm-hmm. because it's just expensive. And, yeah. Nowadays things aren't made to last, for goodness sake.
They're not.
My mom had this avocado green washer and dryer set for like 30 years. And that thing worked until she got rid of them. They were just so ugly. And, and the dryer was not, the element kept burning out. And so she finally got a new set, maybe, 6-7 years ago. They've already had to replace one of them.
Yeah.
Same thing with cars. She had the other Maytag for 30 years.
Yeah. The same thing with cars, too. They're not built to last.
Oh, no. They're built to last till right about you make the last payment. And then there's some sort of self-destruct.
Like computer button, chip.
Yeah. That they're pressing as soon as you make that last payment. So, somebody let me know that Remlap is north of Pinson. Again, another place I don't know where it is. So that doesn't help me. Do you know where Pinson is?
No, I barely know where the Walmart is.
Is that Scottsboro area, maybe? I don't know. You barely know where Walmart is?
No, I don't get out much. I'm a homebody. I like being at home.
Are you here in Gadsden?
Yeah, I'm here in Gadsden. Oh, okay. I just don't get out much.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I love the little places. And I love to hear, like, you always hear these little places. Because do you know who does know where every single little place is? Is the weatherman. And they will start saying, you know, if you're in, like, and they'll say a string of places where I'm like, where's that? I live here and I don't know where that is. So, I mean, they will tell you literally up someone's, you know, past so-and-so's barn, like, they know the places. So I am sure I could ask the weatherman. They would know where that is. Well, I'm going to wind up boys to men here and kind of move on to our next. He says south of Aniana. Okay, I know where that is. That's where the covered bridges are. So kind of way out there, middle of nowhere. There we go. I thought I would tell you a bit of interesting. This is from like Women in Higher Education, kind of put out five key facts they thought were interesting about men and women's experience in education. Number one, women outnumber men in college enrollment and outpace them in graduation. I already kind of mentioned that. You get a lot of different numbers from different places. Women are much less likely to drop out, which is interesting. The second, which was surprising to me, women are severely underrepresented in college faculty. But when you think about it, it takes a long time to really get up there into faculty. I mean, you're having to get a doctorate degree. You're having to then, you know, work, publish. Maybe you're in a junior faculty member to get up to being senior faculty, which is surprising. There's a lot more. But I would say we're going to see a huge shift in that. And maybe 20 years from now, you're going to be looking at almost a flip-flop of faculty being women to men. Women take on more student loan debt than men. I think men are a bit more debt averse. I think you kind of have that, I need to be able to take care of family mindset a bit more. I think women, especially single women, are just willing to take on the debt. That's why they have the higher student loan balances. But I think part of that, too, is they tend to go into master's level classes more and master's level programs more. It says on average, women make less money than men after graduating. And they mentioned the gender pay gap. But I will say this. The gender pay gap is due to the choices most of us make. If you want to, you know, not a lot of women go into certain parts of the STEM field. As we saw, you know, there's just as many doctors. There's a little bit more female than men. But engineering, much more male dominated. I think like 70% male, 30% female. But I tend to think that's just because that's the way women are wired. Men are much more interested in things and how they work. Women are much more interested in nurturing, or collaborating, or, I don't know how to put it, almost, you know, investigating. But so I think that sometimes the gender pay gap is just reflective of the type of jobs that we all want to work. I remember my daughter saying she went in STEM field, but not engineering. But what's funny is her husband is an engineer, and she loves to remind him that she did better in math than he did, which she did. She's an amazing student, but she said she would never want to do that because she doesn't like math enough to do it for a living. And she was much more interested in science. So I think it's kind of just reflective of the choices we want to make. In Sweden, they're very egalitarian. Like, it's equal that everyone's told you can just do whatever you want. You know, they're encouraged, this, you know, girls and boys really taught very much the same. You know, you can have any position you want. The more egalitarian they got, the more separated it became. It's an amazing look at human nature. You know, they still chose the same fields and almost even more so because, you know, when you have 70-30 engineering, you got 70-30 female in nursing and say, you know, fields like HR, you're very heavily dominated women. There's just certain fields that make more money. And I think that gender pay gap is a bit misleading on that. And I think you have to dig into it. It isn't just, oh, we want to pay them less money. Because if that was true, a smart man would hire all women, right? Because then you could just pay everybody less. Yay. I just think it's much more complicated than that. That's why they look at averages. It's easier to fudge. It says also women college students report more mental health concerns than men. I think part of that is that men don't report a lot of that. I don't think that it's because they don't have it. I think men tend to hide things like that.
Oh, and yeah, for sure.
You tend to view mental health struggles as not manly. You know, as something that they need to hide, they need to conceal, or kind of work on treating on their own versus getting help.
They may see that as like weakness.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You know,
like
for
a weakness
sure.
to reveal that.
Right. Whereas women are encouraged and supported and even celebrated for, you know, discussing mental health issues. So I think we just have to look at it as a whole, and how can we help our boys? How can we best help our boys? Well, I think we can be better involved parents, spend more time with them. And I think we need to make sure and be their champion just as much as we would our daughters.
Yeah.
And I think both sides of that equation, both types of children that you have, you got to support them. You have to push them, and you have to be there for them, and you have to listen to them. And you have to tell the girls sometimes, you're being a little much. I don't need all this emotion. And on the boy's side, sometimes you have to look at him and say, it's okay to talk about things. If any struggles you have, you know, we can talk about it. We can discuss it and kind of bring everybody a little closer together.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, if we do that, we can have a stronger generation of boys, which is just going to make women happier in the long run.
Agreed.
That's my two cents on boys to men. Okay, so once we come back on this side of the break, I'm going to move on to a new dipper and talk about Title IX and some of the upcoming issues with the federal changes going into effect in August.